Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening, and welcome to An Adventure in History. I'm Alana Quila with Providence Seaside Hospital, here this evening with Mac Burns.
What was that?
I'm a lot of things.
It wasn't like quite a hiccup.
No. Nope.
It was just a dramatic pause.
Very solidly with Providence Seaside.
That's right.
But I wear a lot of hats.
You're too young for a senior moment. So that's probably right. What it was. You're like, am I here as a volunteer for this? Or am I here in my job? Or am I here?
Where are my children?
Where are my children?
Are they running around?
Where are your children? You're here without your children.
Oh, my goodness. I am. I get away.
I shouldn't even joke because that is a horrible feeling. I lost my kid when he was like 5 at OMSI once.
Ooh.
It was frightening. That 8 minutes of trying to find him was frightening. And it was my wife was in front, daughter, Donovan, and then me. So it technically was on me as the one at the back of the line.
Yeah.
And I just paused to look at something. I mean, it wasn't very long. And he got distracted by that. At the time, they had that shake room, like the earthquake
house. Yes.
And he went back to that. So he kind of circled around.
Oh.
So I thought he's like heading the same way mom had been headed. And he was kind of like right to my left without me knowing it.
And you went past him.
It was terrible.
Did he freak out or did he even know?
No, he didn't even notice. He's just like, dum, da, dum, da, dum, like Mr. Magoo. And just didn't even, I'm like, where have you been? Oh my gosh. He's like, what?
From my days at working at the Crab Festival, we always called it lost parents.
Yes.
Because the children very rarely were ever that concerned.
Yes.
It's just like,
I think they'll
find their way back to me.
If the adults around them get scared, I think that's when the kids ramp it up. And
yes.
Where is my mommy and daddy?
Right. So, well, in age two, right. But it is always the dad, I will point out.
Oh, no.
Oh, see, our guest in the room is saying, maybe not.
So, but we should, because I like briefly maybe panicked you. You have excellent babysitters watching your kids.
Yes, my mom and dad and their Uncle
so
Ari.
You are nothing if not a wonderful, fantastic, caring, paying attention mother.
They are not abandoned.
Before we start getting angry emails or letters.
Yes, because we could have some listeners tonight that are very much interested in children and children's welfare and
maybe
children's education. What's a tease?
It is a tease.
Of someone who's in the room tonight.
Well, we should introduce her if she wants to comment on the, because I don't have many, so maybe they're big conversation starters or maybe they're not this day in history.
Well, welcome. We have Layla Collier here tonight. We snagged her because she's retired. So her schedule opened up just a little bit.
We've actually been trying to book you for about 8 years.
You just didn't even know it. Oh, my goodness. I did reach out to you, though. It was like a year ago, or maybe it was probably closer to a year and a half for 2 years now.
Potentially, yes.
Yes. See, she doesn't even remember.
Time flies.
She was a little busy there at the end. And then, you know, there's a pandemic and big things happened.
We're going to want to get into that.
Yes.
But, you know, as always, at the top of the big show, we talk about the things that you can use as conversation starters tomorrow.
Correct.
And these are things for tomorrow, June 7th. 1753, the British Museum is founded by an act of Parliament.
Oh.
I've never been, but I hear good things. But they didn't actually open until 1759. Oh. 1753 is when they get permission. And 59, did it really take them that long to do their exhibits?
Well, it was a little while ago.
Because we here at the Clatsop County Historical Society make exhibits much faster than that.
Yeah.
maybe it was funding. Maybe they had to get the funding.
Speaking
or something.
Of, you had an exhibit wrap up.
Yes.
But you have another exhibit.
It's coming. So we'll talk about it next week.
Got it.
We don't want to take valuable airtime.
Okay, there we go.
So, but yeah, the exhibit left. And then how terribly timing is this? Did you see the news?
I did.
It was a Canada school. But one of the Native American boarding schools just a week ago found all these unmarked graves of children. And one of the families, the lady that came up from Los Angeles, she talked about having some relatives in one of the schools in the United States where they couldn't tell them where they were buried. Mm. They just said, somewhere out there in the field.
Horrible. Even worse, I mean, a lot of these families were told that the children had left.
Yeah.
Or were missing, not
missing.
Not dead. So, yeah.
Anyway, so the exhibit is on its way to Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Actually, it's probably there and set up by now. 20 giant crates. Okay. 1917. Melvin Jones and a number of other Chicago businessmen found the Lions Club International.
Oh.
So why is it always Chicago? Because Rotary starts in Chicago and the Lions Club. What's
big
the deal?
Metropolitan area.
Why not New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Seattle, St. Louis? I can keep going. It seems odd. Chicago.
Yeah.
Something going on there that's good. I don't know. All right. 1930. Building of the Hoover Dam begins. Anybody ever been there?
Multiple times.
Is it fabulous? Have you gone into it or just drive it? Okay.
Driven over and been in. It's an amazing place to be. Highly recommend.
So I haven't been in. I drove past and took some pictures and looked at it, but we didn't decide to spend the time. So
I think our son was 7 or 9. It was amazing. He was absolutely just stunned by the whole thing. It was really cool going under. I liked it.
I got to go back and make the time.
Highly recommend.
But I do have to always give my Vegas vacation Chevy Chase. I still giggle like I'm in the eighth grade or something about the I'll be your damn tour guide. If you have any damn questions, wait till the end of the damn tour. I don't know why. It just always makes me laugh. So it's more about me, I guess. 1965, the Sony Corporation introduces its home videotape recorder.
Ooh.
Priced at $995. 1965, though. That shocked me.
Yeah.
I would have guessed sometime mid-70s.
You know, we kind of gasp at the price, but how much do we... I mean, I don't pay that much for my cell phone, but some people do pay quite a bit.
Yes.
And that's the modern day.
Yeah. The people that like need a new iPhone the next day or something. I still remember when we got my first family VCR, probably like how another generation remembers the first TV or something. It was in the early 1980s, like 82 or 83. And I recorded a science fiction movie that was on TV, and I was like, wow, you can slow it down and you can see the laser beams, and it felt so stupidly amazing. Anyway, 1976, female cadets enroll at West Point for the first time.
Well,
76. Why is that so late?
Oh, well,
that's amazing to me as well.
I have quite a few answers for that question, but maybe not for today's episode.
Those two dates should have been at the very least flipped. 76 should have been the home videotape recorder in 65 West Point. I would have at least thought that was in the ballpark. 1981, Sandra Day O'Connor nominated to the Supreme Court. Day O'Connor.
Yeah.
And then we have a tie for the history highlight of the day, the things that had the most impact. Yeah. Because I couldn't decide.
This hasn't happened, I don't think.
It's a couple of times where I have trouble making a decision. So, and you'll understand why this was so tough.
Sure.
And you're invited, since there's three of us in this room now, to we could have a vote.
Ooh.
1099, the first crusaders arrive in Jerusalem. Now, they're not always good things, but they did have big impact on history.
Sure.
And then 1985, Goonies is released. Having an almost equal impact on history. So that's why it was so hard for me to choose.
I see your issue here.
I don't think we'll vote. my credentials as an historian might be called into question. But Goonies Day.
It's
tomorrow, Goonies Day.
How exciting.
The 36th anniversary.
Yes, Goonies for life.
Of the release of Goonies. And by mayoral proclamation.
Yep.
It's a holiday in Astoria. I think we should work on the county commission to make it a county-wide holiday, since Goonies is not an Astoria thing. It's a Clatsop County thing.
Of course
thing.
It is. I know someone.
We should talk.
Yes, that's a good idea.
One
place to start tomorrow would be the your museum.
The Oregon Film Museum.
Yes.
It's ground zero.
Start there.
It's not quite the exact moment of the start of the movie, but it's there.
Yeah.
And we have something special. Because we're not quite ready for the post-pandemic big celebrations.
Sure.
So if you stop in at the Astoria Warrenton Chamber of Commerce or the Oregon Film Museum, actually this has been going on all weekend, so you're probably late coming into this party, but
that's okay.
We have 36 ways to celebrate, and you can become an official Oregonian.
I love it.
And you take the little booklet, and if you do 10 out of the 36 things and then come back to us, you'll get a only place available commemorative 36th anniversary button.
Okay.
And it looks pretty cool. And if you do 15 of the 36 items, we'll give you a special treat on top of it.
Oh, a special treat.
Yeah. And it's all Goonies related.
Okay.
So it's,
and then there's plenty of Goonies paraphernalia and, I mean, tons of stuff to
of course
enjoy at the film museum.
And yeah, all over the county.
True, yes.
So we may be surprising some businesses because there's things like go to the bowling alley and actually bowl, not take your picture.
Oh, I think they're used to it.
Come back and tell us your score, things like that.
Oh, fun.
So it's not quite the normal scavenger hunt that we've done in years past. It's not a big, giant celebration, but I'm sure there are Goonies fans from all over the world that have been waiting.
And true Oregonians can do this anytime.
That's true. Well,
is there a deadline for the
Wednesday?
Okay.
Wednesday.
Wednesday for getting, but still, you could still take the list. And
yeah, it started Thursday, and we kind of go for a whole week, especially when it's Goonies Day is on a Monday.
True Goonies fans don't really even, I mean, they'll do it all the time, right? They don't even need a button.
We're thinking about getting that trademarked, or a Goonian.
I love it.
So we've got it on record right now.
Yeah, sounds expensive.
But I can't think of a good segue for that.
No, no.
Kids going crazy. Kids having fun.
A movie that
kids who might be Finnish.
You would
know.
Never show at a grade school? Well, we could
ask. Do it.
Yeah. That would do it. Layla, welcome. We're happy to have you here this evening.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about you. Maybe we can start with where you recently retired from.
Well, I recently retired from the Napa School District as the principal of Hilda Lottie Elementary, and I was also the special ed director for the district, so it kept me busy for the last 10 years.
But how many years have you been in education?
Well, I was in education for 36 years.
Wow. See, that would have been if I'd known that number, that would have been.
There's your segue.
That's my segue. We should rewind.
Yeah.
So speaking of 36.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't have known that.
So how did you, I guess, you know, are you a native Oregonian? And how did you get into education?
I am not a native Oregonian. I am a native Minnesotan and moved to Oregon in, 1977. So I graduated from Astoria High School. And the way I got into education was kind of weird because I was not going into education. I was going into med. I was going to be pre-med and probably a pediatrician was my original goal. Mm-hmm. And my mom, who is very quiet and says things very infrequently, mm-hmm. gives advice very infrequently, sat me down on the hearth at our house and said, "Nope, you're not a doctor. You're a teacher." That was it. Changed my major 2 weeks later.
Wow. And how did you feel about that? I mean, did you feel like, oh, she's right, she knows something, or did it cause you to do self-reflection?
Did some self-reflection. And she said, you know, one of the things she said is you are always playing school with your dolls or the friends or the neighbor kids. You are always playing school. So, and she was right. I reflected on it. If I wasn't doctoring up the dolls, which was less frequently than teaching the dolls, I became a teacher. Never regretted it.
And what do you think about that in hindsight?
In hindsight, I thank my mother.
Oh.
she nailed it. And I think part of it was she thought that I would do better with a little bit of a summer break, although that's kind of a misnomer. Teachers really don't have a summer break because they're always studying or redoing things.
So short.
Oh, my goodness. It's so short. That she just felt that would be better for me. But in hindsight, I think it was just because I think I was a teacher at heart.
So what brought, backing up a bit, what brought your family from Minnesota to Astoria?
Well, we came to visit my brother, who was stationed in the Navy in Coos Bay in the spring of 77. And we drove up the coast from Coos Bay to Astoria because we had friends in Astoria. And my mother fell in love with the rhododendrons, which were in bloom because it was Easter time. And just the gore, it was beautiful weather. And she never wanted to live in Minnesota. She's like, why did we come from a cold country to a cold country? Why didn't we come from cold to warm? And so she never wanted to stay in the cold area. Oh. And so dad visited the plywood mill because he had friends at the plywood mill and got a trial period there. Mm-hmm. And then, lo and behold, that was in April. In October, we were here.
Not often do I hear this place referred to as a warm area.
Yes.
Well, compared to Minnesota in the winter, it's very warm.
That is very true. And also, I mean, your background is Finnish.
Yes.
So they also found an enclave of...
Yes. So that was the other big factor, was moving from one Finnish area to, you know, having those people that are also Finnish. And they had friends who had moved here from Minnesota. It wasn't something I had thought of at the time, but there were several families that were here that they had known back in Minnesota. And so it was natural.
How much of a draw was that? Because reading the papers, you know, the 1880s, 1890s, mm-hmm. Up to 1920s and 30s, yeah. It seems like a natural, oh, we have people there, even if they're just people from our village back in the home country. So I'm kind of struck by this was a factor in the 1970s.
Absolutely. It was, because you had that connection to your language, your heritage, you know, people to talk to, people to do things with. Church was huge, you know, having the church connection. It was huge. Mm-hmm. I guess I didn't think about it too much at the time, being a, you know, teenager, high school kid. Mm-hmm. I didn't think too much about it. It really didn't matter that much to me. But when I look back at it in reflection, that's what really got us connected to the community and got us started in the activities that I still do to this day. Mm-hmm.
Of which one is the Astoria Scandinavian Festival.
Absolutely.
You and your family have been very involved. When did you start your involvement with that?
Well, it was funny. I was reflecting on that. I was driving over here, and in 77, they would have had the festival by the time I got here. And in 78, I remember listening to the coronation speeches on the radio, because they broadcasted the coronation on the radio. Mm-hmm. And then I remember going to the festival on Saturday. The following year, I remember being there for the whole thing. But it was at the old arena here.
Oh, goodness, where the theater, the movie theater, is that where?
Right next to this building.
The armory.
Not the arena.
Armory.
It was in the armory.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, and so that was where I saw it for 2 years, was at the armory. And then when I was on the court, do I say the year?
Yes.
Sure.
1980, when I was on the court, that was the first year that it was at Astoria High School.
Wow. And you were?
Miss Finland.
All right.
Crowned Miss Scandinavia.
That's what I was going to ask. I didn't want to bring up bad feelings. I got robbed by Miss Norway or something.
No, we were actually good friends on the court. And several of us are still good friends. And my junior princess at the time, I consider her my little sister. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that.
And do you still keep those connections and friends? And mm-hmm. That's amazing.
And
were there scholarships involved at that time?
No, okay. There were no scholarships involved at the time that I recall. I don't think that started until many, many years ago, years back. But not that time. There was no scholarship. And even now, it's not a given that a princess were to, you know, apply for it, that they would get it. I mean, they have to have involvement in the festival for years past. I mean, there's some criteria.
So in 1980, what were your responsibilities?
Well, we did a lot of events, a lot of parades, lots of lodges, some that were in a lodge or some that were in homes. We were kind of a unique senior court in that we actually Mary Clausen was Denmark, and she wrote a song, and then we sang it at every event as a senior court. We sang that, and I actually found a copy of it the other day. I thought it was hilarious. And so we sang it. She would play the piano, or I would play the piano, and then we sang this little ditty that wasn't very long, but it was kind of unique. I don't know that any other court has ever, you know, done a song.
Yeah, in all the years of hearing the court come and give their speeches at Rotary or at chamber events, I've never heard a song.
No, I think that would be a great addition, though.
we should revise our song.
That could be mean, though, if somebody doesn't know how to sing.
Well, sure. But. I mean, especially, and it sounds like this young woman wrote the song.
Yeah, so. Mary wrote it. She composed the music and came up with the words, and we all sang it with her. And like I said, either she or I would play the piano and sing the song. It was fun. It was fun to do in people's homes.
And do you remember the song?
No. No, not off the top of my head.
Because I was thinking about putting you on the spot.
Well, she does know the anthem for Finland, the national anthem, because that she still sings, except for this last year and this year.
Well, and if I'm honest, I don't ask myself to sing it if I'm on the princess committee. So I find somebody else.
Oh, there you go. And your daughter got involved as well. And your son.
Yes, the kids. Everyone? Both of them danced in the dance group from... Oh my goodness, as young as they could. I think second grade was kind of the start time until they graduated, both of them. Emmy actually started earlier because she had to come to practices with Christopher, and she learned all the songs. They needed a girl. They pulled her in. So she started at like 5 or 6. She was a little early.
The curse or blessing of being the younger child.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, it stuck because she then was on the court.
She was on the court as a junior.
With her best friend.
Yes, and a senior, and then had a blast. So, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
So let's look back to education for a little while. You decide you want to be a teacher. Do you, as you're going through that program, do you have this notion of I want to be maybe a science teacher because I'd been thinking about medicine, or I want to teach younger kids, older kids? I mean, what was that process?
It definitely was elementary. And I actually was minoring in early childhood with a music minor as well. And I dropped both of those minors because after having done a summer practicum in a preschool, I decided, yeah, that wasn't quite how young I wanted to go. And I also decided to drop the music minor because I figured if I had to teach it and do it, I would learn to hate it. And I don't know why I felt that way, but I'm really glad I did drop it. Mm-hmm. But it came in handy.
Sure.
Having a music background in elementary.
So are you known as the singing teacher, principal? No.
No. No. I think I'm known for the one being in the background. I don't mind letting other people have the showcase. I'm okay with that.
But you did end your career as principal.
Yes.
And then through a pandemic at that.
Yes. That was building the ship as we were flying. I mean, building the plane as we were flying. It was somewhat crazy.
I think
crazy.
Building the ship as you were flying is probably
yeah,
more.
Probably better. I kind of love that.
I don't even have words to describe what it was. It was trying to learn how to do something new at the time because the rules and regulations that were coming from the State Department, they were, you know, constantly changing as they should have been because things were changing and we were learning as we were going, as we still kind of are. So it was, like I said, just each day learning something new, lots of reading, lots of figuring, lots of brain power. My brain hurt last year.
I hate to be that person that always is like, well, nothing like this has ever happened before because I didn't experience it. But was this the toughest part of being an educator that you've ever had, or were there tougher times, or how would you rank this in terms of your career?
I would say the pandemic was definitely up there, mm-hmm. but I would also say trying to figure out how to deal with talking with kids about school shootings or natural disasters or any of those things were in their own ways very difficult as well. Being in the middle of a school during an earthquake.
Yeah.
You know, at Warrington Grade School, completely emptying an entire building of 500, 600 kids and staff and making sure everybody was safe. I think that lands up there pretty high too.
Yeah. If the ground is shaking, that's not just another drill. We're all going to go outside and laugh for a little bit.
It was not a drill.
Wow. And what year was that?
I don't remember, but I remember both of my kids were in the building. One was elementary. I think Emmy might have been second and Chris might have been like seventh grade. And I think the funniest thing about it is I was in a meeting with a bunch of people from the county. Like there was police officers and medical fire people. I don't remember the name of the meeting or anymore, but I remember being in a conference room and all of us, and I could feel the earth rolling and we're all looking around and all the kids duck and dove and all the adults stood up and were like, ah. So the kids were great and the adults were like, what just happened?
Yeah,
those of us in that room, it was hilarious.
I love that for two reasons. One, the thought of you've already got emergency personnel there to help and assist.
Talk
and look
yep.
official. And then I hate that for, oh my gosh, you've got your own kids in the building.
Yes.
And you're, as a parent, you've got to be worried about them, but realize I've got to make sure everybody's okay.
Yeah, it was one of those moments where being a mom went on the back burner, getting everybody else and I was an assistant principal at the time, but making sure that everybody was evacuated. And then it was like, where are my kids? You know, got to take care of everybody else's kids first, all the other little humans, and then take care of your own.
And it went well.
It went well, but it was definitely a day I'll never forget.
Sure. Yeah. And then dealing that with those questions with those kids afterwards, I imagine too.
Yeah.
That's sort of the post-traumatic stress.
Yeah.
Any events.
Lots of those things.
And your own as well.
So talk a little bit about the difference between being a principal versus being in the classroom of things you liked or didn't like.
Well, the same in that you're planning, but you're planning for 20 to 30 to kids in a classroom, whereas as a principal, you're planning for, you know, any number of students and staff and every one of their schedules. And so you really have to have the big picture of everything for the school as a principal, whereas in your classroom, you worry about the curriculum and everything going on in your classroom. And so it's kind of the training ground for the next level, I guess. But yeah, in that sense, it's the same and different.
And were you always at Warrenton and then Napa? No, what other schools were you
No,
at?
I started actually subbing in the county and then received, there was a maternity leave that opened in Astoria mid-year. And so I was at Gray teaching second, and that was just a temporary position. And then I went to Warrenton, was there for 23 years, moved up the ranks from classroom to assistant principal and then special ed director as well. And then came to Astoria to work at the district office in Astoria for a couple of years, and then Napa for the last 10.
And Napa's kind of unique because it's small. Mm-hmm. You're giggling.
I am, because I'm waiting for you to finish that sentence.
Well, it's just a small. I mean, it's really small. I mean, I think of Warrenton as small. I went to a high school with 2,000 people, high school alone.
Wow.
So Warrenton seems small, and then Napa's just like tiny. But in and of that, the dynamics have to be just huge. Because you really know everyone's schedule and personal history and story. And
that can be good and bad. relatively, for me, coming from Minnesota, same experience, huge high school. Mm. I think our class was 1,000 people, maybe 8,000 people. Coming to Astoria High School to me was... I don't have to try out for choir. There's no, you want to be in choir? Oh, okay, we'll put you in choir. What are you saying? No, I want to try out for choir. No, there is no tryout.
You're it.
Okay,
I
guess
I'm in. How many solos do you want?
So relatively speaking, for me, Astoria High School was small. And so then to go to Napa was very interesting.
So to wrap it up, you are retired.
Yes,
so
I am.
Tell us, what has been your goal in retirement? In 1 minute or less.
1 minute or less goal in retirement. Spend time with the grandkids, which I get to do on a weekly basis. Take care of things with my parents, who are still alive at 96 and 97.
Oh, my goodness.
Spend time with the husband. And garden, craft, read. Read what I want to read.
Kayak,
yes. Yes. Become my new passion. Just relax.
I love it. Thank you for joining us tonight.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
All right. Thanks for listening. Go make some history. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.